Today on the program, by the way, in 15 minutes, we're going to talk to Rick Rozoff of StopNATO.org. He's a proprietor, and it's a wonderful site. And NATO is today. We have all kinds of NATO. They don't let a day go by without just talking and rumbling and grumbling what they're going to do about this Ukraine situation. And General Breedlove, who seems to be a character from Strangelove, you're going to hear me repeat that, is warning today about what he's going to do. And if you've ever, do go on the internet and watch Breedlove, because he's got a chest full of medals, and he's got all the crazy demeanor and whatnot that the characters of Dr. Strangelove possess. And as the American writer, I'll think of his name in a moment, but who's been talking about nuclear, has a new book on nuclear weapons and how they could be lost and something bad could happen from them, said that Dr. Strangelove is probably the truest account of what the reality is. He said that's the reality. Eric Schlosser. By the way, we had Eric Schlosser on our program. I think we were called caffeine-free at the time, but yes, anyway, we had Eric Schlosser. And when someone like Eric Schlosser says Dr. Strangelove is true, well, go and take it out, because it's also great entertainment, but it also captures the attitudes that run the Pentagon in Washington. And there have been a couple of writers. I think it was the writer for Asia Times, Pepe Escobar. You know Mr. Escobar?
Yes. Yeah, he's a comer.
Pepe has Pep. Yes, he has. Yeah. And Pepe is totally disrespectful of people with medals on their chest. And he quotes various generals, including Breedlove, and he said, see, these lines could come from Dr. Strangelove. There's no great...
Well, Pepe's one of these guys who thinks the Americans are just stumbling around like a bunch of drunks and just, like, inventing it as they go along. That was kind of his theory from day one. I was like, well, what are they... You know, they get up every day and say, well, what do we do today with this mess in Ukraine?
Yeah, it's they want to have a victory by sundown. So they declare that they're going to do something. They're going to stamp their foot. They're going to really get in somebody's face. And then, you know, then they go home and get drunk. And I've been there in the ranks and watched that happen, actually. It was my face. But, yeah, then they feel satisfied. Okay, I kicked him around. I showed him, you know. As Pepe Escobar says, they seem to be rather short-sighted, because almost every time they do these things, one of these things, they have two problems the next day to worry about. But you know, that's their nature. Make trouble, fail. Make trouble, fail until their doom. At any rate, we will talk to Rick Rozoff, because we want to know. He's invoked a language which we want to understand. He says there's a Chapter 5 in NATO, whatever, documents, and I don't know what Chapter 5 is, so Rick Rozoff is going to tell me whether I should worry about Chapter 5. I know the UN stuff with Chapter 6 and Chapter 7. Not that I read either of those chapters, I know what their thing is about them. But so we'll find out about Chapter 5. I want to remind you too that coming Thursday at 6:12 Bathurst, it's 6:12, right?
6:12,
the different book list at 7:30 p.m.
Robin, no, at Betsatoon. It'll be at Betsatoon, which is at 6:12.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay, double check while we're doing this, because it is
6:12 Markham.
6:12 Markham.
Yeah.
So that's where I went wrong. Yeah. If you're absolutely sure, then I will. But it definitely, it's going to be Thursday at 7:30. The two buildings, by the way, are one block apart. So you're not going to be nothing. There's no crisis if you show up at the wrong door. But there are two doors, and. Robin Philpott has written a book called, the subtitle, which is A New Scramble for Africa, and it focuses on Rwanda, the events of Rwanda in 1994, and the subsequent invasion of Congo, and the fighting between the states of the region. And in my opinion, couldn't be more timely. And so it's an opportunity to hear Robin Philpott's views, Rwanda and the New Scramble for Africa, that from tragedy to useful imperial fiction. I know there will be gentlemen there who have had or also experience in that are on this issue. And so that's 7:30 on Thursday. And we believe it's Betsutun / a different book list. And they're both Bathurst. One is Markham and the other is Bathurst. And they're both at Bloor. You can't go wrong. Let's pray that the weather holds so that it makes it easy to be in that neighborhood. I want to also tell you that Diane Johnson has written a very good piece in today's Counterpunch. It's about this emergence of the claim that there was an anti-Semitic leaflet in eastern Ukraine. We're having the culture wars, and the New York Times and others are all jumping in. And John Kerry and various other people said, oh, this is terrible. However, New Republic and others are saying that it's a fraud, that nobody can find can't find who passed it out, can't find where it came from. I mean, they do have some type of leaflet was given out somewhere in eastern Ukraine, but it's been identified as a forgery. But people are very earnestly trying to create a crisis, so that these kind of documents are going to pop up and they're going to be debated. I notice that very few people wait. John Kerry couldn't wait to jump in because he has a problem, as we know, of defending people who are holding power now. They're ministers in the government of Ukraine who are, they now have a new euphemism, they call them nationalists. But they're nationalists who celebrate the leader of the fascist forces of Ukraine during World War II, Mr. Bandera. They even sport his flag. Four ministers in that government. This is a government which is not constitutionally in place. And then these gentlemen, like the leader of Svoboda, Freedom, have had open, clear, unequivocal issues about being anti-Semites, particularly in the case of Chernobach, who was even removed from one right-wing group because he had publicly said really terrible things. And to see him still floating, and to see him still at the top, and see him, his party, being given all kinds of power, that does raise important issues which nobody seems to want to address. The Canadian government is absolutely silent about it. We interviewed Murray Dobbin on this program. By the way, Murray Dobbin has a new piece called Harper...
Useful idiot.
America's useful idiot.
Yeah, yeah. Good and, phrase.
And, it's a socialist realist piece. Yeah. And at any rate, he's made this point. How can you have a so-called reform government with four ministers who hail from that sector, the right sector, and who have been unabashed in their comments on foreigners? By the way, we touch on anti-Semitism, but it's anti-Roma. I mean, the Roma don't have a friend in the world. I don't see anybody worrying. It's like they don't just forget it. I'm sure they're doing what classically truly oppressed people do, is laying low, because there's nobody can help them, nobody willing. And the spokespersons for the Hungarians and the Czech government. You know, the Czech government has issued visas for Czechs who live in Western Ukraine. They can come if they need to escape. They can come to the Czech Republic. So it isn't a small matter. And to just kind of pass it off, calling people nationalists. I notice Mitch Potter is one of probably the worst writer on these matters in English Canada, certainly. He's using the euphemism, you know. They're concerned about the nationalists. Well, could you tell us a little more, Mitch, about the nationalists? When Mitch goes to Kiev, he can't seem to find any. you know, he's looking for anybody that he might be a Russian to dislike. He understands he works. We're on the Russophobia beat, and he's going to supply any, you know, but he's not going to look at Svoboda. He's not going to look at Right Sector. So, you know, the readers of Star wouldn't even know they exist, except that there's people called the Nationalists, which is very unhelpful. And it leads to crazy writing in the Star, and their editorial is a disgrace, actually, because they're not grown-ups. They can't face real issues, such as the presence of the Right Sector. And they also whitewash the conduct of these new leaders who, you know, I heard they didn't like oligarchs. You know, when they were in Maidan Square, they didn't like oligarchs. They were very much against oligarchs. Well, the first thing that this new crowd did was appoint two oligarchs, two really big ones, to run provinces in eastern Ukraine, which doesn't strike me as a democratic way to go about it. And also, I thought you didn't like oligarchs. And by the way, there is a problem with oligarchs and all over the world. We have oligarch issues. I was reading an analysis of Quebec, the last election, where this billionaire joined and ran for the PQ. And Mr. Pelletier, yeah. And who owns the Toronto Sun. And we were told, I read a column in analyzing the election. They said, well, of course, his economic credentials are perfect. And you say, really? So you say that about the Koch brothers, by the way? Their credentials. No, I mean, they've accumulated, by some means, $1 billion. And a lot of places in the world, that's considered, it's assumed something criminal happened if you've got $1 billion. How did you do that? But then to say, because you are sitting on top of $1 billion, that means your economic credentials are perfect. How could that be? Do you share that with people? Because, see, the economy has problems. So when they don't... when you say, well, he must know economics because he's got a lot of money. Well, then why didn't we turn the economy over to Ford, the Ford Motor Company? You know, and I guess now they would say, good idea. Henry Ford should run the country because he's got this thing. So we're going to come back and speak with Rick Razov. You're listening to Taylor Report at CIUT 89.5 FM. Hey, one last thing. I got to thank you very, very much. We are very pleased and proud of the support we got from listeners to CIUT and to the Taylor Report. So we'll be back with Rick Razov.